This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Look, it's not a total doom and gloom Monday, but it's also, I mean, we understand that there's a little bit of a dark cloud over
today.
Yeah,
look, it was just, I mean, I think we saw for a half, my mind was racing with how good this team might actually be. They were rounding into form offensively. I mean, since the, I looked this up, Jared Goff, Arizona game forward, is completed 54 of 66 passes, 82%, 7 touchdowns, 1 pick for 806 yards. The running backs have rushed for, in those 3 games, David Montgomery, 225 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs, 224 yards. Montgomery averages 4.8 yards a carry. Gibbs averages 5.3 yards a carry. And yesterday they scored on their opening 9 drives. And the only thing that stopped them was they put the backups in. And the offense, and it's still, in my view, a league where offense wins championships. I think that's what it's morphed into, and I've had this belief the last few years. And yet, the defense was the thing that held them back last year. It doesn't mean you want to have a crappy defense, and the defense still might be decent. I mean, the secondary was incredible yesterday. And Brian Branch is a defensive playmaker. And the bottom line is, it was like a peak Lions performance that had some air let out of the balloon. So now what do they do next? I've made my prediction. I think it'll be a subtle, smaller move. There are big moves that potentially have to. We don't know the true accessibility to a player like Max Crosby. But, you know, there's names we'll run down. It's going to be a long show, long week. Lots of time to do so.
Well, offensively, with the output from yesterday's game, they are third in the NFL in yards per game. They are first in the NFL in points per game.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good game to get well offensively for this team.
Yep. Okay, so let's get into the Tigers here a little bit before we get back to your phone calls. Look, that was a hell of a run. I am so impressed, and it was so much fun. And, I mean, the word grateful comes up, but I you know, look, they did. I'm sure they were doing what they expected to do, and all the players say that that's what we want to do. But once the way this thing played itself out was so remarkable and one of the more unbelievable stories. And it, I don't want it to just be a footnote of this little engine that could. Like the idea of taking a step back now is something I don't even want to, you know, it's time to add gas. It's time to add some gas to this thing. And the real question is, okay, out of these 13 rookies, who are the core pieces and who aren't? And out of the young players, who are the core pieces and who aren't? And if a guy like, you know, Spencer Torkelson, who is a bit of a polarizing player, if he is not part of the, are they going to go out and sign someone to take his spot? Or are they going to, you know, go get the Vierling of first baseman? By that, I mean a journeyman guy who can help you win, but are they going to go big here in this offseason? Are they going to add? Like, I love what they did with the pitching rotation, but you can't do that all season long. In my opinion, you can't. And so are they going to add a big arm? Is it a free agent? Is it a trade? Like, now it's time to look forward a little bit here and look back. I mean, look, it just ended. It's still pretty fresh. I just don't want them by design to take a step back. You know what I mean? By get aggressive. Now's the time.
Well, and this is what ownership and the president of baseball operations had to say, that they would. Like when a team's ready to contend, they're going to start pushing things forward. Well, getting to the ALDS and losing in the fifth game of that, having won 4 playoff games this year, yeah, I think that this is the time that you say, okay, we will spend money. But my concern is that they have to spend it offensively. They need to spend money on pitching too. But my concern is that they're going to spend money to try to just re-sign Terek Skubal, and that would be it. And that would be great, but disappointing too, because you're not addressing the offensive issues. Hopefully, they address the offensive issues while trying to re-sign Skubal to begin with. They don't have to re-sign Skubal just yet, because he still has another 2 years of service time here with the Tigers. But offensively, they clearly need upgrades at the corner infield positions. If you can find an upgrade in the outfield, go ahead and go ahead and do that if that's what you want to do. And they absolutely need another starting pitcher. But the offense is the reason the Tigers are sitting at home today, the lack thereof. And they're going to have the tough decision, like you said, with Torkelson. I imagine that Jace Young is a guy that's probably going to start the season at AAA, unless he has a fantastic spring and just knocks down the door and says, I'm ready to go, and starts hitting home runs, because we didn't see that from him in his stint with the Tigers. I don't know what the future holds for a guy like Matt Vierling. I like Matt Vierling. He's an all-around great player. I should say he's an all-around solid player. But that's a guy that if you can find an upgrade, you go ahead and you do that. If you can find somebody who can start every game at third base and be your guy there for 145 games, then go find that guy. If you can find a guy who can be the outfielder slash DH or corner infielder, go and find that guy, because you're going to need to find the platoon for Kerry Carpenter. Kerry Carpenter, hopefully he can start to hit lefties with more regularity, but that's a hole in his game. He kills right-handed pitching, but if a left-hander takes the hill, he's out of the lineup.
So there was a news conference this morning that just wrapped up with Scott Harris and AJ Hinch. We obviously aren't privy to it because we're doing the show. So this will be unpacked as the week goes on. But relying on the media members there, it sounds, than what they've reported, it sounds like they want to get another right-handed bat to balance out the lineup. Javi Baez is expected to be part of spring training, and they don't know if he's going to be healthy. But at this point, he's expected to be part of spring training, and they're probably going to add some pitching. So we'll get a chance to digest it and hear it, sort of the tenor of the conversation coming up before, as the week goes on. But
The one guy who really improved his stock is Justin Henry Molloy. Mm-hmm. He had a hell of a playoff. Nice. I mean, it's only seven games, but in seven games, he hit. He hit better than anybody else on the team. 625 average on the team, a 1477 OPS. Again, it's seven games, but he really showed up. It was only eight at-bats, but he had the five hits and the eight at-bats. It was an impressive showing from a guy who was really asked to come in a pinch-hit role, which is tough to do, or just to have the one at-bat and then go to the bench because here comes a right-handed pitcher.
Pinch-hitting is so difficult to do. I know these guys stretch and warm up before they get called upon and stuff like that, but it's just not the same as being in the game the whole time. You just got to be ready to go. And by the way, it's probably a pretty big moment for you to come in and take an at bat. It's not like just go out there and whatever. No, it's runners in scoring position, or we need somebody on base right now. It's a big moment. And yeah, I thought Molloy came through, and this happened. I mean, Kerry Carpenter, right? I mean, the huge hits that he had. Playoff baseball, what a ride. Because after I got over it emotionally, because I was pretty pissed off that Saturday for a while, maybe even through Sunday, you look back and you just appreciate everything that happened.
Yeah.
And then you really don't appreciate like people like Stephen Kwan and a lot of people. I mean, he's a great baseball player, but he's like a little leaguer that plays Major League Baseball.
A little twerp.
Yeah, like slaps the ball into left field, always puts the ball in play, gets on base. Ugh!
But you know what?
He's not a spaz, and that's what's okay about it.
Well, we did the topic last week about who you grew to hate.
Who was annoying to you, irritating you?
Well, there's number one with a bullet right now.
I could.
And you were dead nuts on with it, Kang, last week when you said it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I went from Naylor to Rocchio by the end of the story. The end of the series,
dude. Rocchio with not even a question. It's
right.
Rocchio.
It's Rocchio. Totally. I mean, talk about it. As that series went on, I was like, Kang might be right about Rocchio. And then I was like, Kang is absolutely Kang right about Rocchio.
Couldn't be more right about Rocchio.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod. That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.